and mighty fortresses are gone. Just think of, place yourself away from here. Place yourself somewhere where you are in the minority, where you are potentially being persecuted for your faith. And then sing those songs to yourself in that situation. A mighty fortress is our God. So encouraging, isn't it? If you've got a Bible, please turn with me to John chapter 17, verses 20 to 26. John 17, 20 to 26. One of my old pastors used to say, and when you found it, look up and smile. And this is what it says. It's entitled, Jesus Prays for All Believers. My prayer is not for them alone. These are the words of Jesus. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity, and then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. What a few verses, eh? Quite stunning, isn't it, really? So this prayer in chapter 17 of John's Gospel, it happens on the night when Jesus was betrayed. The whole chapter is a prayer. Some commentators call it the farewell prayer. Others call it the high priestly prayer. And our Bibles help us a little with these subheaders. Jesus prays for himself, verses 1 to 5. Jesus prays for his disciples, 6 to 19. Jesus prays for us. Let that sink in. Jesus prays for us. Jesus prays for all believers. So what do these few short verses in John's Gospel have to say to us here in Brook Road, without the E, on a Sunday night at the end of October in 2018? Let's see where we go. It's about praying for those that we don't know. That's our role. Look at verse 20. Jesus prays for us. But not just for us reading this passage so many years after he prayed those words. He also prays for those who come to faith or who are discipled through us. Ann Coles, some of you may have heard of Ann Coles. She's a house church leader as well as being the overseer of women's ministry at New Wine. And she says this, when we pray, it's natural to focus on the people and situations close to us that we know about. Agreed? Yeah? Actually, it's also easier. That's another story. But then we find that Jesus also prayed for those not near him, indeed not even born, for you and me. Jesus was, and still is, praying for us all. Jesus models praying for people far away. We follow him as we pray for the lost, the poor, and the hungry, whom we often hear about only through Christian organizations, not the general newspapers. We may never meet those that we pray for on earth, tell you what, there will be plenty of time to catch up with them in heaven. Isn't that true? Aren't those words of Anne's true? As I said just now, it's not only natural to pray for the people and situations we know about, it's also easier. The thing is, when we pray for mission work, think about this as well. We often pray for the missionary whom we may well know, and possibly not the work that they're doing. Does that connect? Possibly not even the people among whom they're working. Maybe slightly different for the Dajo, for yourselves. I was interviewing one of our workers, another guy called Chris. We're common, aren't we? And he's working in North Africa, and he said this to me. He said, in my experience as a worker, everyone wants to pray for the worker, but very few people pray for the nation or the people among whom we're working. I would rather 10 prayers for the people and one for me. Recently, a supporter whom I've never met phoned me up to say that she prays for AWM daily and she uses our prayer materials. And she said, asked whether there was an update on a particular prayer request that had been mentioned several weeks back. I gave her the latest update, but how encouraging was that? There's another worker. She's called Ruth. And she works among women in North Africa. And she said this to me. She said, God, often thinks these thoughts. God, I love this woman so much and I want her to be in your kingdom. How long, Lord, before she accepts your truth? Her friends, who have become believers from a Muslim background themselves, told her, be patient. Ruth says this, we love to hear stories of instant conversion and instant understanding. They happen, but those stories are rare. More often it takes years for a person to walk from disbelief to faith. God's patience with us, with me, is immense. And we need to learn that same patience as we pour out again and again the love that God has given us. Other people. And we hold on to this hope that one day they will come to faith in Jesus. I remember a lady came up to me in one church meeting once and said, Chris, I prayed for my husband for 40 years and nothing happened, so I gave up praying for him. And then 6 months later, he came to faith. How neat is that? But we've got to be persistent in our prayers, haven't we? Isn't it a bit like digging wells in Chad? Digging wells, if you like, is an act of faith. Particularly in somewhere like Chad. These ladies standing around thinking, I wonder if they'll strike water this time. People there are resilient. And well diggers have to be persistent and have to persevere time after time after time. Doesn't that make us think about prayer? Be persistent and be patient and persevere. It's an effort sometimes, isn't it? Particularly when we're praying about situations that we really don't know too much about. People in different places where we've never met them before. We should keep going. Let's keep on going on. So then you get joyful scenes like that. Look at his little face. Struck water. Yes. Secondly, passion for God. How are we doing on time? Doing all right. Our motivation. What's the motivation behind our role of prayer? It's so that the world may believe that God sent Jesus. That's said several times, even in these few verses that we looked at. One of our core values at AWM is passion for God. Our passion being to glorify God throughout the nations of the world through obedience to the Bible and by living and proclaiming the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. And it's an act of worship to actively participate in some way in the Great Commission. It's a writer by the name of Tim Dearborn, and he wrote this: lack of interest in mission is best remedied by intensifying people's passion for Christ, so that the passions of his heart, Christ's heart, become the passions that propel our hearts. Passion for Jesus is what motivates us. And this passion for Jesus, this passion for God as a motivation for mission, I tell you what, never runs out. Let's tell you about Rob. Rob works here in the UK. He's one of our workers based in the UK, and he was reflecting on radical Muslims. And he said, they're passionate believers, but I'm a passionate believer too. I passionately believe, he says, that Jesus shed his blood to cleanse and rescue the house of Islam. And there he was on one occasion. He was in a radical mosque and he was surrounded, these are his words, by 12 scary-looking Muslims. And they formed this semicircle around him. And they were ridiculing him and they were mocking him and they were saying, laughing at him, and they were saying, which God, which Bible do you believe? The Bible has been changed so much. Which one do you trust? How would you respond in that sort of situation? And he sat there and he said this: oh, that's simple. Oh, that's simple. The Lord told us through the prophets Ezekiel and Jeremiah that he would write his law in our hearts and give us power to obey it. It's this translation written on my heart that has changed my life and continues to do so. And he then gave his testimony of what the Lord has done in his life to this group of radical Muslims who were sitting around him. He'd been taken to this meeting at this mosque with these Muslims by a friend of his, a Muslim, who sat there and covered his head in shame. Because he had just driven Rob for 90 minutes for Rob to be able to sit there in his mosque and proclaim how great Jesus is to this group of Muslims. How neat is that? One of our workers is called Nathan. And he demonstrates this real passion for God. He said this to me. He says, I weep today for the amazing gifts of forgiveness we have received in Christ. I weep today wanting our dear friends, our dear Muslim friends, to know that they too can be forgiven. Yes, they too may be included in Christ when they hear the message of Jesus, the Son of God, the gospel of salvation. God, the reason why God created the world and is now redeeming the world is to share his delight in his Son. Mission is God saying through us, look at my Son, he's beautiful. God is passionate about Jesus. Are we? And to finish off with this, if passion for God is our motivation, then it's our delight, not our duty, to be involved in God's mission. A duty is something that you have to do because it's part of your job, or something that you feel is the right thing to do, whereas a delight is something that gives pleasure. It's a response to what Jesus has done for us. So we respond in love. It's an overflow of God's love for us. God sent Jesus into the world to rescue his people, and he sent his Spirit into the world to empower us to be his witnesses. And so we are sent. In verse 23, Jesus prays for the unity of the church so that people will believe in him. And when Peter wrote his first letter, he said this: finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. That's how Jesus wants us as the church to demonstrate the love of Christ to the world around us. And tell you what, people notice time and time again
Muslims will see what Christians are doing, how they live their lives, and then they question themselves. That's how often people begin to explore. Someone called it a cascade of divine love, which is a lovely phrase, where those who are loved by God love like God. We become a blessing to others in the name of Jesus. We reflect the love of God for Jesus to the world. And Jesus prays for us to demonstrate and offer this experience of divine love to the world in which we live and serve him. One worker, Jim, he was talking with an Arab pastor who had been discipling believers from a Muslim background, and his wife, Karen, was invited to join some of the women in helping a new believer, this young lady called Rachel. Note, these aren't the real people, these aren't their names either, just in case you're wondering. The stories are true. And the new believer, Rachel, she was just so amazed to hold the scripture, saying, I never thought I would have the opportunity to have this in my hands. Don't we take it for granted? There's a cost for Rachel. Rachel is absolutely terrified that her husband will discover her faith, that he will divorce her, and that he will take her children. Tell you about this guy. He's a man by the name of Abel. He's a Syrian refugee, but he's a very accomplished oud player. Oud being the Arabic lute. And somehow or other, when our workers went to see him playing the oud very skillfully in front of them, finished off with a conversation about spiritual matters. And when our workers told him about the death of Jesus, he burst into tears. And then they told him about the resurrection. But then he asked these words, did Jesus only die for the sins of the Christians? Did Jesus only die for the sins of the Christians? That comes up several times, actually. A number of people have asked us that. The workers shared John's testimony. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world. And what he then did was, he lifted his eyes heavenwards and he began praising God. God had already been working in his life. And now he was ready to receive forgiveness and new life. A special moment. He opened his heart to God in prayer. When they went back to him, he then asked for them, can I have a Bible, please? And they gave him John's Gospel. By the time they went back to see him the following morning, he'd read 3/4 of John's Gospel. Does that put us to shame? Does me. And then, that following day, he led a Bible study with his family, because he's desperately hungry for him, for his family, to come to know this Jesus whom he now loves. And he's continuing to shine for Jesus and to share clearly and pray for his family and those around him that they will come to faith. Thing is, if you think about it, whose mission is it? It's not ours. Ultimately, it's God's mission. God is already at work. And what we want to do is to join in with what he is already doing. One worker put it in the prayer letter like this. I praise God that I am his son. The weight of this work is not on my shoulders. I'm just a kid going to work with his father to see what he does. Do you like that? I absolutely love that. I'm just a kid going to work with his father to see what he does. The growth of the kingdom is his concern. And our job is to do what we are asked to do today, not worry about what tomorrow might bring. Isn't that encouraging? Love that. Just a kid going to work with his father to see what he does. So there we are. 3 things. Our role, persistent, patient, persevering prayer. Our motivation, passion for Jesus. Our delight, participating in God's mission. What a privilege we have to be partnered with God in what he is doing. When it comes to AWM, you've already mentioned some of these. Be informed. Please take the magazines and make my box a little bit lighter. And pray with us. There's some prayer literature as well. We also send out prayer emails. Partner with us through your gifts. And there are opportunities to go. Short term, long term, all different sorts of things. Question is, why get involved in mission? For the same reason that God sent his Son. It's out of the overflow of God's